I'm stretching my back out a little bit. My back has been hurting me over the last course of this last hour. I was working out earlier, and so just pardon me there as I was letting the music roll a little bit while I was rolling. But I think I'm good to go for this last hour. You got the numbers. Where are you going to take us? Coming up next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Looking a little light on the open lines, so if you've been wanting to get through, here's your chance. Coast to Coast AM, take a look online at coasttocoastam.com for the phone numbers, or just hang on, and we'll roll them to you again at the bottom of the hour. Let's start on the wild card line. Let's go to first-time caller line first. Eric is in Phoenix on Coast to Coast. Eric?
Hi, Ian. I wanted to finish up with JFK, but I wanted to say you're the most coolest kind of host right now. You're the most, the most skeptical, the most rational. But anyway,
I don't know about that. Let's always keep in mind that I'm happy to have my role here, and because George does what he does and George Knapp does what he does, I get to do what I do. So I like where I get to sit, but I wouldn't trade chairs, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's show. So tell me where do you want to go with that now?
Okay, there's a guy, he's a Bible prophet named Harold Camping that I want you to have on the show. This guy is a riot. He's hilarious. I listen to him every night. I don't listen to Coast, and he says that the world is going to end in 2011.
Right. Why 2011?
Oh, he just thinks that's when the Bible says it's going to end, and this guy is so funny. You just have to have him on, you know, for a full interview.
Well, I'll take a look at that, and I'll see why he came up with that number. Of course, so far of the thousands of people who have predicted a date for when the world was going to end, they've all been wrong. So maybe he'll be that one guy who gets it right. I guess we'll know soon enough. Wild card line, Ross is in Sacramento for open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Ross?
Ian, 9 states have legalized production of hemp. Canada grows hemp. Hemp is food, fuel, fiber, yep. Medicine. The industrial hemp is like 0.5% THC, so it can't be used as an intoxicant.
Yep.
And I just wonder, how are we going to get this new government to legalize production of hemp? Federal licenses are given to grow tobacco. They're also available to grow hemp, but they're not given for people to grow hemp.
That confounds me. If I felt strongly against hemp, I might have a position on that. But I happen to find hemp to be a perfectly reasonable crop to grow, and don't know what's taken us so long to get around to it with all of what it could do for us, especially for biofuel. Mike is in Scranton, Pennsylvania, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Mike?
Yeah, you know, I was reading our letters to the editor here in our local paper. And the guy was talking about a car that Ford is selling in Europe, the Fiesta Ecomedic Diesel, gets 65 miles to the gallon. And they were talking to Ford America president Mark Fields.
Right.
And he said that there are business reasons why we can't sell it in the U.S. Now, it didn't elaborate in the letter, but maybe it was in the Business Week article, that the guy ended the letter by saying, maybe Ford will sell the Fiesta Ecomedic in this country once they're in bankruptcy.
Hmm.
How do you like that?
Well, you know, I'm not one right now who's really feeling like we need to bail out the auto industry, because I think the auto industry could bail out itself. I think they, like a lot of people, they kind of like what they have and they want to keep it going. Because I think one of the things you address there, what I keep hearing about, at least from economists, is that there are all sorts of new options out there that if they were able to restructure their financing, to reorganize the way they approached car making, that they could end up coming out of this period, you know, stronger, better than ever. And if there was a reason why they're not going for that car, that they might find that under restructuring, that might make financial sense for them. Wish I could tell you more than that, but sure doesn't make any sense for me. If I were them, I'd be, you know, trying to do anything that looks like it's going to have a bigger impact on the market. And I don't know why It's taken them as long as it has, and why it requires so much capital that they say they don't have. Like, remember that the company we were talking about a couple of weeks ago in crypto news out of California that essentially created all the capital they needed to start, you know, selling these electric sports cars, and they've already got orders backed up for like 3 years of production. So, I mean, it seems to me like they could do this. They just may be looking for the swift kick in the pants that this bailout would avoid. And maybe if we avoided the bailout, they would be inspired to go ahead and do it. Bobby is in Tampa on Coast to Coast. Final hour. We're doing open lines here. Bobby, where are you going to take us?
Hey, tell you what, I'm a little tired of hearing all the stuff about the politics and about the bailout and everything else. So I thought I'd kind of lighten things up a little bit and maybe tell you a little experience I had as far as a ghostly adventure. Is that okay?
Works for me as long as you don't mind the next caller's going to call up and say, I'm so sick of people telling ghost stories. So go ahead.
I retired from the professional wrestling business in 1981, so I had several experiences. But anyway, this I took on a Domino's franchise after I retired from professional wrestling. And when I started out, I was actually doing a little delivery work for them before I actually went into the management end of it. But anyhow, I went to this house one night. And I go up to the door, and I'm knocking on the door, and I keep hearing somebody say, I'll be there in a minute, I'll be there in a minute. Nobody came, so I'd knock again, and I hear the same voice, I'll be there in a minute, I'll be there in a minute, and still nobody came. Finally, I decided that there was actually, they weren't coming, or they weren't serious about picking up, or they might be setting me up for something. So I'm backing out of the driveway, and this guy comes running down the road, and he said, are you the Domino's delivery guy? And I said, yeah, I am, but I said, this is the address I'm delivering to. And he said, that pizza's actually for me. And he said, I can't believe it, because he said, my mother lived in that house, and she's been dead for almost 2 years.
Wow.
So there
was nobody in that house, even though you thought you could hear somebody over the on the other side of the door.
I absolutely heard somebody over the door. And really nobody came. And then finally the guy came down the street and he said his mother had been dead for almost 2 years. And actually the address that was on the box was her address, her old phone number. But yet he lived three doors down, and, you know, so I don't know. It was just one of those crazy experiences.
All right. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate that. Very interesting. And you know what? That doesn't surprise me terribly. I wonder if we could have had Nikola Tesla there recording that EVP. You know, he said that was what we heard from our guest earlier in the show, that Nikola Tesla's first transmission receptions from a radio receiver before anybody else had them. Could have been ghostly EVPs, but there are no recordings of them. Mark is in Fort Worth on Coast to Coast AM. Mark?
Yes. I was told that we could utilize 20,000 acres of uninhabited desert land north of Las Vegas in Nevada and put up solar cells and have enough power to power every business and residence within the United States.
Who told you that?
Somebody that works with DOE.
Why aren't they doing that?
Too much capital investment. It would be a $2 trillion project.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's for sure. So, but it's possible with enough capital investment, theoretically, to get enough solar cells in the desert to be able to power everything. That doesn't surprise me. That'd be very cool, actually. And I think that's a lot of what T. Boone Pickens is getting at. Is at least how much we could be supplementing our power supply already through solar and wind. Ross is in Sacramento on Coast to Coast. Ross?
Hi, Ian. I just really think that your earlier talk on Tesla, if you go to YouTube and type in Tesla turbine steam, you can see a Tesla turbine working on top of a pressure cooker. If you just used mirrors in the desert there, you could crank that sucker up and produce all the energy that you want. The Popular Mechanics, November, had an issue with the Stirling motor and 38-foot parabolic mirrors, but they weren't storing the energy as molten salt. And that is a cheap way to do it. And I believe it'll produce more energy than this country will ever need. They're doing experiments. The Spanish are in this country, actually,
right
down there. Yeah, yeah. And
works for me.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
It would be nice. You know, I wish there were more people. I wish we were in a position right now to spend that kind of money. Maybe we'll see it different under the next administration, although I don't know where we're going to come up with those funds with the hole as deep as we're dug into right now. Speaking of which, Doug is in Nevada on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Doug?
Hi, Ian. I was just wondering if you have heard of any machines like an Ergon or an Orgone machine that that sort of breaks apart matter.
I haven't.
Well, there was someone that I came across on the street who just started talking to me and my wife once, and it's kind of an interesting situation. He started talking about the machine. He said he had one, and he was kicked out of a town. He moved to Waterville, Maine, and he wanted to show me the machine, and then all of a sudden he said, well, it's broken, so it doesn't work anymore. But when I left him, my wife said he was sucking my energy, and she said my face was all white. It was really a strange situation.
Well, interesting. I mean, I haven't seen anything like that on YouTube or anything, but I'll poke around for it in the break here at the bottom of the hour. Maybe we can get a link on before the end of the show. Wildcard line, Chris is in Florida on Coast to Coast AM. Chris?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. We're whipping through the calls, so hang on.
I'll move quickly. Hey,
hang on tight.
I work for a janitorial service down here in Southwest Florida.
Right.
I swear to you, I've had people with me. We've seen like this green thing going across the sky. We don't know what it is, but we were all curious about it, and we're wondering if anybody else has seen it.
Because describe green thing.
Okay, when I say green, I mean like it's like a ball. Instead of a shooting star, it's actually like a ball that goes across the sky, and we can't understand what it is. I mean, I've had several people who's worked with me who's been like, wow, did you see that? And I've seen it too, so I'm just curious if anybody else has seen it.
All right, we'll see if we get any responses for that.
I hope so, because I'd like to know what that is.
Well, I think some people call that pinging. So we'll see if we get a ping back from anybody in South Florida on something green moving across the sky as Chris reports that. We'll get to a couple more of your open line calls coming up in just a second. Again, we'll shoot you the numbers at the bottom of the hour. If you're going through StreamLink, go through that first hour if you want to and catch the latest we have up there on D.B. Cooper. Speaking of things streaking across the sky, Galen Cook, the attorney and investigator who's been working on the case for quite some time, has been kind of coming up with some new developments on that, and it's all in the first hour. There's also a lot on that at the website at coasttocoastam.com, and then tomorrow night, the JFK show. So let's get to, do we have Bill on the wildcard line and a couple other people who are hanging on, and we'll get to them all this hour. Also, too, and George has the night off here, but he'll be back again. You know how George is around the holidays, and we'll get to George coming up on next Friday night. He's just taking the night off for tonight. And if I could plug another show coming up, we are working on getting Richie Kohler back. Now, you remember we had him on sort of on an impromptu basis when we were talking about the mysteries of the Titanic that were still being uncovered. And he's one of the divers for the History Channel. He does a couple of different programs, as Deep Sea Detectives being one of them. And he has agreed to come on. We're trying to work out the details on exactly when, but I'm really geeked about this. And there's also a new book out by Dean Koontz, and we're working that out with Dean to get him back on before the end of the year. Should be fun. Bill is in Eugene, Oregon, then, if he's ready, on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Yeah, Ed McCabe has a book, Flood Your Body with Oxygen, and he describes a dialysis device that ozonates and oxygenates your blood. Small amounts of ozone, 2% ozone, 98% oxygen, actually kill viruses, bacteria, and even prions, and then oxygenate your blood, and there's a filter that filters the stuff out.
How can it kill a prion? I'm just curious. I don't know a lot about prions, but as I understand it, it takes actually a high amount of heat to kill a prion.
Well, ozone prednisone is one of the most effective oxidizers. In fact, the body's immune cells actually produce small amounts of ozone, the hydrogen peroxide, that actually kill these viruses, fungi, and even things like prions. But if you,
well, I guess I'm with you up to a point. I don't want to make a promise that isn't vetted. But I'll take your word for it for the time being. So thank you.
If we inject, doctors can inject oxygen and ozone, small amounts of ozone, you actually make like a weak vaccine in your own body, and that is specific to you. It's not like taking monkey vaccines,
sure,
like they did with us back in the 50s, and transfer SB40 and all these kind of things. The thing about oxygen and ozone is it's really a wonderful hope for the future, because it's not like a pharmaceutical, petrochemical one fix for one thing. It kind of affects all sorts of viruses and bacteria. It kills them all, anthrax, all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, I love that. Love the thought of that. If that works, I'd love to get all the anthrax out of my body if I have any. Wildcard line. Nathan is in Naples, Florida, on Coast to Coast AM open lines. Nathan.
Yes. How you doing?
Good. It's kind of a wild woolly ride so far. Where are you going to take us?
Well, actually, I was going to respond to the caller from Southwest Florida a second ago. He said he's been seeing green lights in Florida. I'm actually do midnight security in Naples, Florida, which is in Southwest Florida.
Right.
And I've seen, I don't know if it's the same one, but there is a green light that I've seen at least three times in the last year and a half. It's usually on my ride to work, and it's in the same place every time. It's in the same exact spot every single time. But it's more, the first time I saw it, I was driving to work with a buddy of mine. And it almost looked like a firework at first. Like, it just looked like a bright green falling firework as fast as possible. And we both just stopped and stared at it. Like, what was that?
Right.
And I probably saw it probably about 4 or 5 months later, same exact thing in the same exact spot on my commute to work. So it's like, I guess it's not a firework, but.
No, not if it's in the same exact spot and it's moving. So. Good. Well, then hopefully we'll continue the search to see whether anybody else had seen that in southern Florida, east of the Rockies. Chris is in Madison on Coast to Coast AM. Chris?
Yeah, good evening, Ian. I was just wondering if you'd heard anything lately on the smiley face murders.
Well, funny you should mention that. In fact, I had just forwarded an email I got from Christy Peel, who is the reporter at 5 Eyewitness News here in the Twin Cities, that had been following these stories of college boys about the same age who had gone missing under the exact same circumstances. And then at the site of the majority of these presumed accidental scenes was a smiley face that had been spray painted. In fact, there is a new one that fits the same profile. I got an email on that from Christy Peel yesterday, and I forward that on to the producers of Coast to Coast. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get an update from her. Maybe next weekend will work, and we can get her on for the first hour to talk about the latest. The smiley face murders is, we don't know that it's true. There's still reluctance on the part of the FBI to investigate this. And all we can say is it is an odd coincidence, a very spooky coincidence, and one that Christy Peel says she has testimony from people in prison saying it's not a coincidence. People who've been involved with this killer cult have been willing to talk about it with her. And so I think we'll get an update coming up sometime soon. Thanks for the reminder, Chris. And hang on, everybody else. We'll get to you for open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I was just talking with Kiris off the air about I've been feeling back strain all night long. I've been trying to stretch out during the breaks from working out. And I have been trying this cherry juice, cherry concentrate, and mixing it in with various things because it has this anti-inflammatory property. And I'll let you know how that works out. I really just started using it last week, and I see a lot of good benefits to it. But it's interesting how it's just something as simple as cherry concentrate and using it in just the right ways. And maybe all along there was the answer to what we needed without going down the as somebody said earlier, the petrochemical pharmaceutical route. So I'll give you an update and see how pure cherry concentrate may be changing my life. Seems kind of weird to even say that. I mixed it in with my coffee, and at first it was kind of weird. It tasted like chicory. And they don't recommend this, by the way. It's not like a recipe, but I like cherries and I like coffee. So I thought maybe it'll be good together. And it's not bad. Honestly, it's kind of weird, but it's not bad. And I hope it's helping. Anyway, you'll get us through the last half hour here while I sit up straight and take your calls for open lines on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I'm just talking movies, too, off the air. If you go to my blog at coasttocoastam.com, it'll take you to that trailer for the new Star Trek movie if you haven't seen it yet. And then also William Shatner's reaction to the new actor playing him, or playing James T. Kirk, anyway. Is there a difference? Playing Kirk in the new Star Trek movie. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, you can link up from there. And just got an interesting email, too, about tomorrow night's JFK show. And I'll tell you more about that when we get to the end of the hour. First, west of the Rockies, Michael is in San Bernardino for open lines. In for George tonight. Michael, where are you going to take us?
Hey, and you guys are cranking, man. As always, the sharpest mind on radio, or one of the.
Well, I'll take that.
I have something to say, but I wanted to tell you, is that black cherry you're using?
Well, actually, I have two. It is. One of them is a black cherry concentrate, and the other is not black cherry. It's a Montmorency tart cherry juice. And so one is dark and the other is tart, and I'm experimenting with both of them. But it's really interesting. You can get them at, I think a lot of grocery stores are carrying it now.
Yeah, health food stores are great for alkalizing your body also. Anyway, I just wanted to touch down on that. I wanted to digress a little bit. I live out here in San Bernardino County. They have been pummeling the skies with chemtrails. That was the reason I was calling. And I know that we do sometimes spend a little bit of time on coast to coast. But as we know, Margolian's disease is out. And do you have any touchdown information on how does that short little shot, guy named Captain America in our community, that was his name, he's a pro-Constitution guy, began to make noise about it and pass out flyers, and poof, all of a sudden he disappeared. Been around for a long time, about 4 or 5 years. Nobody knew where he went to, and then one day, one of his friends, a former police officer, found him, and he had been in Patton. He was on Social Security, and he wasn't the same guy. So when he tried to contest that, but, I mean, it's getting ridiculous. I mean, they are just layering skies lately.
Well, yeah. So are you a sufferer of Morgellons or Morgellons disease?
The Morgellons, no. I just know it's out there, out in the L.A. area, Signal Hill, Long Beach. They've been spraying. They found it out there. Some stuff on YouTube, if you punch in Margolians or chemtrails.
Morgellons. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, the reason I say that is because we had a doctor on once, I think, talking about this, and he was talking about how doctors generally regard Morgellons as a delusional disease.
Horrendous, isn't it?
Well, I'm asking because I've never actually talked to anybody who has it. I've only heard about it. So I was just curious from
here's first person. Here's a fast blast because I know you have other people on waiting on hold. One morning I told my wife about it. I showed her on YouTube. The next morning it came on Good Morning America, and then they had a talking head there saying, well, there's no such thing. Yet then on a Nightline the night before, I think it was Nightline, the night before that happened, when I had talked to her about it, there was a Nightline article about some people out in I believe it was Texas or in the Midwest somewhere, whose whole family was affected by it, and the father had died, the mother had it, and these are synthetic plastic fibers that grow biologically attached to your cellular structure, and then they become protrude out of your skin. But anyway, I was just wondering, do you have anything that any kind of a proactive? Do we know how to question it, stop it? Anyway, I'll leave.
I don't know. This is a bigger question than obviously we can handle here in the show. In one sense, I mean, Congress has had, meetings on this, and they just can't seem to get an agreement that this is actually happening. You look at the photographic evidence, and it sure doesn't look delusional, right? I mean, but other people say, no, it's not a real thing. Although I think that the CDC has begun to take it more seriously. I can't remember the last time we talked about it on the air, but it was the CDC had started an investigation into whether or not it was delusional, what do they call it, parasitosis or something like that, or whether it was a real manifestation of a heretofore undiagnosed condition. But it does pop up from time to time on Coast to Coast, and we'll continue to put it out there so that people who suffer from it at least know that they're not alone. And while we still search for the answer for that, John is in Seattle on Coast to Coast. John?
Before I get into my point, Ian, if you have inflammation, bromelain is something athletes use.
Tell me about that.
Pulsed magnetic fields is something people use. There's the pulsedenergytech.com. Right. They have probably one of the better things in the country. But proanthocyanins are 40 times more powerful than vitamin C.
What is that? What is that? I don't know what that is.
Well, they discovered that the early French explorers in the St. Lawrence Seaway used a tea to cure scurvy, and the bioflavonoids were found to be 40 times more powerful than vitamin C. Like, you're taking two types of cherry. Acerola is probably the world's most concentrated form of vitamin C, and then choke cherry is another type of cherry that's very good. But vitamin C looks like a burgundy snowflake with a double yellow tetrahedron in the center, and the largest concentrations are in the human brain. And it's amazing. It's just a psychedelic. Totally.
Yeah, but I don't want to be eating any brains, right? You said that was what you were throwing that in. I didn't want to miss what you were calling about.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about a whole class of patents that Dr. Paul Stamets has filed that are going to make obsolete, hopefully, the petrochemical agribusiness chemicals. He has patents on fungal-based herbicides, fertilizers, and insecticides, fungiperfecti.com. And if you get a chance to check this guy out, he was at the Green Festival in San Francisco just the past week. And the guy and people like him are just doing phenomenal work with changing the paradigm in which we live under today.
Okay. Very interesting. Thanks. Appreciate that. Heading into this last few minutes, let's get on as many as we can for these open line calls. And Reggie is in Valdosta, Georgia, on Coast to Coast. Reggie?
Hey, and how you doing today?
Good. I could use a visit to Georgia soil. It's been too long since I've been down there, so I may have to come. Especially, I was hearing that sad story about Savannah today, where there had been that shooting at the school.
I did not hear about that.
Yep, at Savannah State, not too far from you, and they had had a shooting there at the school, and it made me think of Georgia. So, where are you going to take us?
I'm going to take you to what Chris said about the green balls of light that he's been seeing.
You've been seeing that in Georgia too?
Yes, I am a security officer as well. Matter of fact, I'm working right now patrolling around a new construction building. Wednesday night, there was a lot of meteor activity. About 9:05 p.m., which is Eastern Coast time, it came out of the northeast like a meteor skipping along the atmosphere, moving toward the southwest. It entered into the atmosphere, burning a sparky trail like meteors normally do. Now, this one, I would have played it off as a meteor if it wouldn't have done what it done. And once it started burning real good in the atmosphere, it stopped, made a 90-degree right-hand turn, went for a viewplane from where I was sitting at for approximately about a good 5 or 6 inches, almost the distance of about 4 or 5 good pine trees in Georgia, made a left-hand turn, done a complete 360-degree circle, and shot off into the southwest. About 30 minutes later, you could see aircraft doing search patterns all over the area.
Now, that's interesting. The regular aircraft came in afterward, and you could see them looking for it.
Yeah, you could actually see them doing a search pattern in that one area.
How about that?
It's weird because it was a green ball, almost like a meteor.
Right.
But meteors do not take and stop in mid-flight and make a 90-degree right-hand turn.
No, they don't. That's very interesting. Well, this is going to be great news for people who have been seeing it, that they know that they're not alone out there. So thanks, Reggie. And there should be some network somewhere of security guards, you know, for guys who are on late-night detail watching over buildings and parking lots and whatever else they are in charge of, that they can be able to log in when they see something like that to other security guards around who they can poke their head up out of the window wherever they are and take a look and look for that at the same time. A network of people who are already predisposed to being up at that hour. First time caller line, Brian is in Fort Worth on Coast to Coast. Brian?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, I got something to add to your green fireball here.
Go ahead.
I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, and it seems a little crazy to me that it probably in the last year that these green fireballs, they look like a Roman candle, what you would think of on 4th of July.
Right.
They basically, like the last caller from Georgia had said, they seem to come from the south, and they're going towards the or coming from the north, going towards the south. I've seen them in the evening. I get off work at a tattoo shop, you know, at midnight. I see them, I don't know, three or four times a month. All my employees have seen one. Everybody thought we were crazy, and now everybody's seen one. All my customers have seen them. You know, and it usually happens between 9 o'clock in the evening, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, these are huge green fireballs. So we start looking them up. We look them up on the internet. You know, we start YouTubing things, looking, you know, find out what they are. We've never seen shooting stars like this in our entire life, you know, so this is a big thing. And come to find out, there's videos of these things all over. They're everywhere. Everybody in every state's seen them. I'm wondering why they're not on the news. I'm wondering why nobody's covering these things. The things that people need to think of is, why does something burn green? What chemical compound burns green? Okay? These things are important to know, and nobody's
copper.
Asking these questions. Yeah, that's exactly right, copper. Yeah. You know, and today on CNN, MSNBC, you know, right there on the internet that everybody loves to look at all day, there's a huge fireball that streaked across the sky in Canada, 435 miles. People could see this in every direction. You know, it's on the cover story. So I'm not really understanding why it's not getting any coverage.
Well, give it a little time. You know, so often happens when we cover something here on Coast to Coast, you wait 3 to 6 months later, and it'll pop up in the mainstream media. So we'll hammer our way at it. Not to sound smarter than I am, by the way. I didn't know the answer of what burns green as copper. Kiris did back in the studio. So thanks for the IFB on that one. I just can't take credit for being that smart. Amy is in Tampa on Coast to Coast on a wild card line, and our remaining minutes for open lines. Tomorrow night, JFK show. Read you an interesting email on that in just a second. Amy?
Yes, Ian.
All right, open lines.
Well, I have a little something for you for your green lights.
Sure.
I deliver newspapers down here, and I had seen the same thing, and I actually heard a sonic boom. Now,
oh, cool.
I thought it was like thunder, and when I heard that, I looked in the sky, and I actually saw it after I heard the sound. And instead of going across the sky like a meteor, it was more vertical. And the green had a teal green color to it, but it was like three times the size of a normal meteorite. That's what I thought it was, too. Like
very interesting. Very interesting. And do you see it make any moves left or right? Or
no, just up and down, and it disappeared.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you, Amy. You know, what we ought to do then is see if we can't put them all together on one page. You know, YouTube them into a series, like across the country, and just if there are so many of these videos out there, to sort of organize it so that you could go from one video to the next video, and you could almost follow the trajectory of that green orb, that sort of green flame as it fired across the sky. Yeah, I'll take a look at that, see if we can't do that for tomorrow night. Mike is in Springfield, Illinois, on Coast to Coast AM. Mike?
Hey, Ian. Good to talk to you, buddy.
And yeah, hey, I love Springfield. Great town.
It's a nice little town. It's pretty clean.
It is. It's a really good town. Hey, I like it.
Hey, it's probably been about 10 years ago now. I don't remember exactly what channel I saw it on, but I'll tell you, I've searched the archives of all the channels that I watched, and I can't find it anywhere. It was a show about this company that was producing. It was almost like a battery that sits next to your house, and it was rather large. It looked like like an electrical box, maybe, that you would see at a substation or something.
Right.
And it was kind of like one of them ion air purifiers. It sucked in air on its own, ambient air.
Right.
And somehow the molecules, the difference in the charge between the plates that were in this thing separated the molecules somehow and produced energy. And these people were still in production, but they said that they could almost guarantee it right now to last for 100 years.
I remember this.
Do you remember this? You know, I've asked
I do remember
everybody
this.
I know, and no one knows
I
about
do.
It.
You got me with that box description at the side of the house, and I want to say we talked about it when we had the guys on that were doing the totally innovative, completely green house, the self-sustaining house. Wouldn't that make sense?
Yep, that makes
and they're
sense.
They're out in the desert, and they had all the sunshine, and they were converting that into coal. They were making it into electricity so that they could run their air conditioning out in the desert.
Well, I don't remember that part, but they actually had a test house that they were running on.
Right. This is exactly what I'm thinking of. I know what you're speaking of. You know what? The last time I heard, there was a reason why we couldn't get those people back on again. So let me see if it's possible. I'd love to get an update on that, especially now. Chris is in Topeka. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Our time is running out, so you got to be quick. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. I was just wondering, what do you think we can do to get these independent and libertarian candidates more noticed, like across the media, who we know is elevating like censorship on, opposing
ideas
from
Here's what it is. Ready? I'm just going to cut right to the chase. Yeah. You have to find the person, the candidate, who is magnetic and who is completely media friendly. Because when you have that, you get, and I think Jesse Ventura, unfortunately, isn't the best example of this, but obviously he got elected. And he got elected because he was able to capture people's imaginations. And you look at somebody like the election of Barack Obama, and you know he started as a total dark horse, completely out of nowhere candidate, and look what he ended up becoming. And right. I think that's what so often any of the third or fourth parties they get close to it. Ross Perot was a good example, came close to it. So if you're looking, to do that, find the person that you think would connect with the American people and then convince them to represent your political point of view. That's how you break through. If you want my opinion on that. All right. So all we have time for is a quick plug for tomorrow night. But I just love this. One of the guests we're going to be talking to is the author of this book called Legacy of Secrecy. And it's about the JFK assassination for tomorrow night's JFK show. And that it's about Carlos Marcello, the mobster, making a deathbed confession of sorts. Just so happens the author is going to be in Dallas when we do the interview coming up tomorrow. And they're going to be within about 10, 20 yards of where Jack Ruby's nightclub used to be. They're going to be fresh on the ground tomorrow, having walked around Dallas when we get them tomorrow night. And look forward to this. Find out how you can get your autographed copy of the Warren Commission. More about these deathbed confessions of the mobster and E. Howard Hunt. Should be a great show coming up on Saturday night on Coast to Coast AM. And thank you, George, for letting me sit in. In the meantime, Deus te amat, and I do too.